Hi, welcome to this week's audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm your announcer and associate producer, Bill Ballman. This week's Gay USA was recorded in New York City on August 16th, 2017. There's lots to report on this week. As you're all aware, the Charlottesville, Virginia riots by the white nationalists and the KKK and the neo-Nazis, and there are some gay angles to that story as well. It's very bad experience for all those of us living in America, but we need to figure out how we can work together to move forward for the future. And so Ann and Andy will talk about that at great length at the top of the show. And then there's actually some good news from Texas and some other parts of the world to report on for the LGBT community. So right now, here's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum with this week's LGBT news. Enjoy.
And we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, and I'm ashamed to be an American this week.
Aren't we ashamed to be Americans every week?
Well,
I'm Ann Northrup.
There are a lot of good people here.
Yes,
good,
there are.
And we're going to talk about them, but we have an unhinged president who just gave the green light to neo-Nazis and other white supremacists to continue to tear this country apart. But the log cabin Republicans are sticking with them. And the question for the rest of us in this country is, will you join the fight against white supremacy and the racist policies of his party and some other parties?
It may fall to me not to defend him, but to explain from his point of view the rationale behind his approach.
You want to keep people tuned in, don't you?
I look at him and I think I understand him.
Okay.
But I think
I do too, but
It turns out that the fascists who rioted, killed, and maimed in Charlottesville, as they did, were especially vocal in their hatred for blacks, Jews, and LGBT people. We'll show you some of that.
We're also going to show you Trump defending his banning of transgender troops, but that the Navy Secretary is pushing back publicly.
Is this a mutiny?
Well, it's unprecedented.
Yeah. In better news, and there is better news, we promise to get to better news.
It's going to take a while.
It is. But the Texas House of Representatives blocked the anti-LGBT bills that had been proposed in their special session.
But in Jackson, Michigan, arsonists burned down the home of gay activists.
Well, that was a brief foray into good news. Gay students in suburban Missouri have been censored in their yearbooks, but many are rallying to their side.
That story kind of has a happy ending, I think, in many ways.
Well, they're so adorable and so admirable.
We're going to bring them to you. And, if you've been paying attention to this show, but now we have the data, more LGBT people have been murdered already in 2017 than in all of 2016.
All right, so this week in Trump news, we spent a lot of time on him last week, so have at it.
Well, I mean, I'm wrung out from this week just watching what was unfolding. I think, like most decent Americans, I mean, I have a special connection to Charlottesville because I went to the University of Virginia and spent time there.
Yes.
And it wasn't a racial paradise, let me tell you that. It's become a very liberal town, and it has, you know, it has a Jewish mayor and an African American vice mayor. It is a liberal, relatively liberal college town. And so to see this, you know, rally straight out of Nazi Germany happening on the lawn at the University of Virginia, Larry Sabato, who was a professor there, a classmate of mine, said we need an exorcism on the lawn purify it at this point. And then it all, you know, so, and I have to say, you know, let's take it step by step. You know, our friend James Essex at the ACLU, they're the ones who went down there and said, no, you can't shunt the neo-Nazis off to McIntyre Park up the road. You've got to let them up next to the statue. Now, I'm very sensitive about First Amendment rights and the right to make your point where it's supposed to be made and all that kind of stuff. But there was a huge safety issue here that anyone could have seen. And you've got to keep people separate when they're that volatile. And it wasn't done. And so I'm not happy with the fact that in these little side streets of the old town in Charlottesville, that this was able to unfold.
I think one of the most disturbing things I read or saw this week was the discussion of the Charlottesville police standing back and, in fact, standing around laughing as these clashes were beginning to take place. Clearly, they were not prepared and not willing to take responsibility for controlling that. And there needed to be a much, much, much larger police and National Guard presence.
Everybody, you know, and their mother is condemning the white supremacists and the Nazis. Even Trump did that, didn't he, for 5 seconds, right? Condemning. Folks, this is a war. Those people had guns.
Yep.
They are feeling empowered with their Führer, Donald Trump, and that's what I call him a lot on Facebook. You know, they are feeling empowered, and there is going to be more violence unless we contain this. You know, we grew up at a time, you know, J. Edgar Hoover was allowing them to run around, and then the FBI fell into better hands, and they shut the KKK down. They brought RICO statutes against them, you know, because of the deaths that they covered, because they were a syndicate.
The Aryan Brotherhood.
Yes,
was,
all that stuff.
Crippled by payments they had
that
to make.
That has to be done again. The thing.
Well, I do. I wonder where this is going. What in fact is their goal, and what needs to be done to shut them down?
Well, you know, we have a picture of, you know, a lot of the people were captured on film because they were in a torchlight parade. And one of them was this guy, Peter, I can't pronounce his last name, Gentanovic of Identity Europa in Charlottesville. So this punk came all the way from Reno, Nevada to march, and then he gets caught because his picture is in all the papers in the country and say, oh, we know him. He lost his job when he came back, by the way. But, you know, he said, I believe the replacement of the statue of Robert E. Lee will be the slow replacement of white heritage within the United States. And the people who fought and defended and built their homeland, they were trying to, you know, they were fighting
the
United States of America. He was great. I want to honor and respect what they did. And then you see all these people posting things like, you know, hey, white people built this country on the backs of slave people, enslaved Africans, including in New York.
And a lot of black people will say black people built this country.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That the enslaved Africans are the ones who did the labor to build the White House, the University of Virginia. All those places were built by enslaved people.
Another of the most interesting things I learned this week, and you do learn a lot if you pay attention to this, is that all these monuments to Civil War generals, and please, mainstream media, stop saying Civil War heroes. I've heard that today. Civil War generals, politicians, whatever, were built 50 years after the Civil War, were built in the early 20th century, were built in the Woodrow Wilson administration to celebrate segregation, to celebrate the Klan.
To reassert white supremacy.
To celebrate the destruction of Reconstruction.
Exactly, because Reconstruction empowered African former slaves. It empowered them. It put them in Congress. They were running things for a while. And mm-hmm. then the South reasserted itself and created Jim Crow. And
so these are not benign monuments that celebrate some kind of admirable heritage. These are monuments to segregation specifically, and erected 50 years after the Civil War to make that point. Woodrow Wilson showed Birth of a Nation, not the recent one, the original that celebrated the Klan.
D.W. Griffith.
In the White House.
Treated the KKK as heroes. And, well, look, you know.
And destroyed a lot of the progress that African-American citizens had made up to that point.
In the 1920s was the flourishing of the Klan and their terrorist violence against black people in this country.
More lynchings then than ever before.
The NAACP was founded in 1909 mainly as an integrated anti-lynching group, because it was such a huge problem.
At that point. Not 50 years earlier, at that point.
I did some research once for the head of the NAACP because she was giving a speech on Long Island, and I found out that in the 1920s, 20% of the people in Suffolk County on Long Island were members of the Klan in the 1920s. They had youth basketball teams that used to play against other high schools. And in the Queens chapter, Fred Trump, the father of the president, was a member and was arrested at a Klan rally. This isn't fake news. We're not making this up. It's all documented in the newspapers of the day. And of course, as Rachel showed, you know, they had huge marches on Washington, the Klan, right down the center of by the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And they controlled who could get nominated by the Democratic Party, which was the racist party in those days, pretty much in the 20s. Until Al Smith came along, a Catholic, they didn't want him because they hate Catholics, and they hate, and you know, we're going to show you how they hate gays, because at this rally in Charlottesville, this is you know, they were certainly chanting anti-Semitic slogans, you know, Jews will not replace us, but this is something else that they chanted at that rally. Point.
Yes, and for those of you who we bleeped it for because of broadcast standards, they were, of course, chanting F you faggots.
I think children should hear that. They should hear this. They should hear the unvarnished bigotry of these people. Of course, the president says there were fine people in that crowd.
Well,
people would have left. You know, wouldn't have come, of course, but fine people would not stand there if that was happening.
Oh, well, this is my...
I've left a few demonstrations when they get a little too hairy.
Well, and okay, let's talk about that and what the president talks about with the alt-left and the attacks. I'm not comfortable with the violence that is present in the anti-Antifa groups and the way they acted at Berkeley and have acted in other places. But in this case, I think they were exercising self-defense. Cornel West says, and others say, they saved his life.
I'm in general against violence. These people were carrying guns. I don't know what you're supposed to do with them. I'm surprised that a lot of people didn't get shot. Instead, you had somebody using a vehicle as an instrument of terrorism.
Whose actions are rationalized by the right? You should really watch. There's been a lot of talk about this Vice documentary, 24 minutes on HBO. You can certainly find it on HBO on demand, but it's being passed around a lot. If you Google it, you can probably find it, Vice, Charlottesville, something like
they
that.
They went undercover. Not undercover. They
not
embedded
undercover.
Them. Undercover.
They a went, young they imbe- blonde woman, reporter for
right.
Vice, got permission to follow some of them through this weekend, and they were quite open and explicit with her. And they
were very upset with the beautiful Ivanka Trump for marrying a Jew.
Well, and the president for handing over his beautiful daughter to a Jew.
I mean, they have no...
But they excused the car, the murder, by saying the guy was under attack, felt panicked, and hit the gas.
That's
he
a lie.
Was just trying to get out
That's
of there.
That's a lie, because the photographer who shot the whole thing said, I saw him. And the first thing he did is he backed up the car up the street so he could get a real head of steam so that he could shoot down and kill people. That is undisputable.
Well, there are a lot of lies, and that leads me to
Oh, for God, for the first time they were saying that the guy, the other side was saying he wasn't one of ours.
Yes.
They, you know, they weren't even owning
him. But I look at Trump, who really has lost it emotionally in all of this, but I'm trying to figure out what is going on with him.
What's always going on with him.
But I think, you know, he is a big liar, obviously, all day, every day. But I think he, for some reason, sincerely believes what he is saying.
Some of it is being fed to him by Steve Bannon.
It is being fed to him. It is being fed to him, and he believes it.
Well, but
that's more dangerous in my mind.
You just said there was violence on both sides. People could see that there was violence on both sides. But you're talking about fighting neo-Nazis, fascists.
I agree with you.
The anti-fascists.
I'm just trying to analyze him.
The anti-fascists may get violent too sometimes, but they are fighting fascism. We fought a war over fascism.
Yes.
On a world war.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to figure out.
That's what he doesn't
he
get.
Saying.
That's what he doesn't get.
Yes, exactly.
That this is an element that has to be purged from society. But he is a part of it.
He has no values.
He's one of the leaders of it.
He has no knowledge.
He's a racist.
He is a racist. He's tutored by Roy Cohn. He's tutored
by his father,
the KKK.
Had racial discrimination suits against him forever.
Absolutely. You know, takes out a full-page ad against the Central Park Five saying they should be executed.
They were innocent.
When they were innocent. He has a long history, but this is what he believes.
Well, I mean, and...
Yet the Republican Congress is not willing to get rid of him.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. And it's not enough for Republicans to just condemn, even just to condemn his racism. We've got to focus on the racist policies that have been perpetuated. And quite frankly, Democrats haven't fought hard enough to stop them.
I remain perplexed by why the Republican Congress, which could have Mike Pence as president, who would do everything they want a lot more efficiently than Trump, but they won't get rid of Trump.
Well, they're afraid of Trump's base. Everybody's afraid of Trump's base.
I understand.
And things are out of control, and they're going to get more out of control the longer he stays in there.
Are they waiting for his approval ratings to drop to 5%?
Well, they're certainly doing things to separate themselves, but they're not changing any policies. Hey, Republicans, pass the renewal of the Voting Rights Act. Restore the Voting Rights Act in America. Stop the voter suppression efforts in all your states.
Hold your breath.
But you're not going to do that because that's the only way that you can win. And I'm not saying people are attracted to the Democrats these days, because they're not.
No.
And the
mainstream media and the establishment Republicans and Democrats are still riding their little hobby horse of, this guy is, you know, disruptive. Yes, he's disruptive. That's the point. And that's what his supporters want. And until you grapple with that in a real way and stop trying to hold him to a standard that he doesn't believe in and his supporters don't believe in, you are going to get nowhere with him.
But when his supporters are pressed about, are you happy that he's dismantling the healthcare system, the health insurance system? Are you happy that he wants to, privatize Medicare? Are you happy that he's cutting taxes for the wealthy? Are you happy that he's deregulating everything so that your air will be and water will be dirty? Are you really happy about these things?
They don't have to be because none of that is as important to them as his disruptive challenge to the mainstream.
Well, I think the woman who was killed, the 32-year-old woman, Heather Heyer, I watched her memorial service this morning.
Me too.
And her mother said, they killed her to shut her up, and you have only magnified her voice 100-fold. She sounded like a great activist. She was involved in everything. And, she was a champion of civil rights. And yet, so she's killed by a vehicle. All these, and this is not a new thing, but...
And 20 people were wounded.
Yes. Many of them critically. But that North Carolina House of Representatives this week passed a bill to allow you, if your vehicle strikes somebody when people are protesting, you're not responsible. And this is catching on in right-wing legislatures across the country.
On the grounds that it's accidental.
That's crazy. It's nice to see that Trump's economic council had to be disbanded by him because it became such an embarrassment. You know, the first person to resign was the African-American guy, Kenneth Frazier, not our favorite person. He's the head of Merck Pharmaceuticals. And Trump goes after him and says,
racist.
You know, you go back to your price fixing for drugs. Well, Mr. President, you could set new policies about drug pricing, and you're not doing it. You're just giving in to the pharmaceutical companies.
And he was sitting at your right hand at one of your little council
meetings. Did you say anything to him then?
Yeah.
And then there's the Log Cabin Republican Club. Oh, my God. After he gave his speech, you know, his initial speech, Log Cabin stands with and echoes President Trump and his forceful statement today. All Americans must unite in condemnation of hate. Well, they're going to hold...
You are in fantasy.
They are going to hold their 40th anniversary celebration honoring former, Carly Fiorina, who may run for Senate in Virginia against Tim Kaine, at the Trump International Hotel.
Of course.
Have you no shame?
No.
Have you no sense of decency?
None.
Can I say this word on free speech? Pigs. No, it's too good for you. All right.
I wouldn't, that is degrade pigs that
exactly.
way.
I just saw Babe on television. Babe is very, maybe not want to eat pork anymore.
Well, my concern really is the future. And these fascists and white supremacists are promising. This was a great triumph for them.
All right. But I am sick of listening to, because all the cable stations have, we're now considered moderate non-Trump Republicans who are condemning him. And Nicole Wallace and all these people, oh, I work for George Bush. He was a unifier. He brought people together. And George Bush Sr. comforted the nation. And Reagan. Well, we remember what these people were like. I mean, George Bush, W. Bush, started a war in the Middle East that has killed millions of people, an illegal war that we let him do, even though he went to a few protests.
After lying about weapons of mass destruction.
You know, Nixon started the Southern Strategy.
Let's not forget that George Bush also got reelected in 2004 by putting anti-same-sex marriage amendments on the ballots of states across the nation.
It has been a bigoted party since racist Democrats started joining it in the South after the passage of the Civil Rights Act, which they all voted against. So these people like Strom Thurmond, they became Republicans. Nixon started a Southern Strategy. It's all based on racial hatred, and you've got to own that. Or we're not going to get past this. You can't act like there was a golden age of the Republican Party.
Correct. And you can't keep Republicans in power on the grounds that establishment ones are going to fix all this, because they're not. All right. Should we move on to actual issues?
That people are focusing on getting the overt fascists out of the... We certainly want to get Trump out. But, I mean, Bannon, Gorka, and Miller, we really need to keep the heat on there. But on the other hand, it's like maybe the best thing to do is to try to ignore him. He's got an enormous amount of power, though. And he's going to, if he gets too cornered, he's going to start a nuclear war. And I think he's going to do that. Not because of any global problem or anything like that, or
To distract. The one time his ratings went up was when he bombed Syria.
And it's not the investigation of Russian interference in elections. It's the criminal enterprise of a business that he ran.
Yep.
And he knows this, that's why he didn't release his taxes. As soon as that's exposed, he's a criminal. His whole family are criminals. I'm not exaggerating this. That's the stuff that Mueller is going after. That's why he's panicking like this.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, maybe he did that press conference because he knows more of that stuff is going to come out, and you'll report on this. And he'd rather be known as a racist than put in prison. I'm not going to be happy until he is. And they're also ready to roll back the Obamacare protections for transgender people. Department of Health and Human Services.
Well, they're going to, this is part of their attempt to destroy Obamacare, as they call it, the Affordable Care Act. They're going to take out the non-discrimination provisions, no sex discrimination, no gender identity discrimination. That is going to go because they're going to, this is where they're going to start inserting these religious freedom clauses. So they're going to give health professionals the right to refuse to treat without penalty, without non-discrimination laws. So this is going to be the beginning of what we're going to see across the government, what Trump promised early on and told Jeff Sessions to do, was go throughout the government and see where these religious freedom clauses could be inserted to screw us.
So, and the ACLU and Lambda are locked and loaded and ready to sue.
And there, the Department of Justice is also getting involved in a lawsuit brought by four Christian women in a Texas prison, prompted by the Alliance Defending Freedom, who are supporting them. The women are fighting the Obama rule allowing trans women to be housed in a women's prison. They say there's too much danger to them. Now, they're in a different building than the trans women who are in prison. Nonetheless, they feel very in danger because of these trans women in the prison. So the Department of Justice said in their filing in the suit, look, you're not really in imminent danger because you're not in the same building, so, and you haven't proved any danger. So we're going to file against you in this lawsuit, but we're going to examine this Obama guideline or rule and probably get rid of it so that you won't have to be worried about having trans women anywhere near you in your future prison life.
Well, we didn't even talk about Trump and the transgender ban.
Well, that's what we're working up to. So well, now let's deal with that. Now,
yes.
There continue to be rumors about and some new facts about Trump's proposed ban on trans people serving in the military.
And remember, he did this out of pique because he wanted to pass a bill that had funded his wall. That is why he did it.
Yes. And he needed votes of a few right-wing members of Congress and the support of Tony Perkins and other outside right-wingers on that defense appropriation bill. And the only way they would support the bill was if there was an anti-trans component to it. So that's when he announced in a tweet one morning, suddenly, unexpectedly, that he was going to ban all trans people from serving in the military. That got the support and the votes of the right-wingers, and they passed the defense bill that included some funding for his wall. But people have been questioning this, and the service chiefs all stood up and said, no.
Well, about all the service chiefs, certainly the head of the Coast Guard said no.
The head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said no.
The head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said that it's not in place because we don't have any formal policy against it now. The Secretary of the Navy did speak out. This is unprecedented.
So
this is a guy named
eons ago, last week, Trump, at another press conference that was quite controversial, was asked by a reporter, thank God occasionally they get in another question.
Shall I read the question? Sir, why did you decide to announce the transgender ban reversal a couple of weeks ago? And are you betraying a community that you pledged to support during the campaign? And
so let's watch that exchange.
Are you betraying a community that you pledged to support?
No. Look, I have great respect for the community. I think I have great support, or I've had great support from that community. I got a lot of votes. But the transgender, the military is working on it now. They're doing the work. It's been a very difficult situation. And I think I'm doing a lot of people a favor by coming out and just saying it. As you know, it's been a very complicated issue for the military. It's been a very confusing issue for the military. And I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
Another lie. There have been no problems.
Don't do us any favors.
The service chiefs have explicitly, taken a step toward mutiny by saying they don't need to get rid of the trans members. Everything's fine. Defending their trans members.
James Mattis had defended the policy when this was first proposed as an amendment to the Defense Authorization Act.
So this is more a lie. Now, one of his excuses for doing this, of course, was that the trans military members were costing too much money, which we found out, of course, was one quarter what the military is spending on Viagra for the military, let alone other health concerns.
And by the way, some of this has been put on hold because of the North Korea situation.
Absolutely.
They did this in the Iraq War for getting rid of gays. It's called a stop loss order. No, we're not throwing anybody out. We're not going through any of this kind of stuff.
Until they come back to the U.S., and then we throw them out.
Exactly.
But here are a couple of new facts on this. The Naval Postgraduate School professors did a report on what it would cost to train and replace the troops, the trans troops that would be thrown out. And they took a sort of middle number of, I think, 12,500. Nobody knows exactly how many trans people there are in the military, but that's a semi-conservative number. $1 billion to replace those troops with new troops training. So much more expensive. Surgeries and hormones would be like $3 or $4 million.
Yes.
$1 billion to replace these people.
Let's not forget that very few transgender troops have actually come out. And that up until last year, they weren't allowed to come out, although I imagine some were open in certain circumstances. We were already on hold in terms of admitting recruits who were transgender. So this is a relatively new thing, and yet it does enjoy the support of the Joint Chiefs. It does enjoy the support of senators like Orrin Hatch and Richard Shelby of Alabama. These people you'd never expect.
In part because they want to stand up for patriotic Americans who want to fight.
They don't like being ambushed by Trump, and they're starting to stand up for themselves.
Well,
they need to get a lot more aggressive about that.
Well, here's the new rumor. Last week, the rumor was that the White House had transmitted guidelines for the ousters to the Pentagon. But, in fact, it was put on hold because of North Korea.
Well, both.
Both. But here's the new rumor. They're not going to kick out anybody. They're going to let people serve, but they will not take new recruits, and they won't cover medical procedures. Was the original thing that Vicky Hartzler of Missouri tried to get passed in the House and failed.
Vicky Hartzler, a right-wing bigot from Missouri, who was pushing this thing.
I continue to think that this may not happen at all. Certainly it has been ratcheted down several times now, but he's still out there at press conferences saying he's doing the military a favor because if they told the truth, they would want to get rid of the trans troops.
And,
I don't think so.
So there's a lawsuit now with five transgender service members suing over any attempt to ban them.
Yes. All right. Other news. In another lawsuit, Lambda Legal is suing the city of Houston to preserve the LGBT employee benefits after the Texas Court of Appeals said that the state could ignore the Obergefell ruling.
Yes. I mean, this was a case that's gone back and forth in the courts, and we hope to prevail in the long run, I hope.
But more exciting, for the moment at least, is that Texas did complete its special legislative session a day early, by the way.
This session was called primarily, although there were some other issues on the table, primarily a 30-day special session, which cost millions of dollars, because the lieutenant governor is especially head up about banning trans people from life, basically, and Dan Patrick. And it passed the Senate easily, And then the House is led by a business-minded Republican who doesn't want this for the state, who seems to, his name is Joe Strauss. He seems to have a sensitivity to the issue. I don't want to be responsible for suicides. We're going to talk more about that later in international news. And he stopped it.
He did, not for the first time.
Right. Well, he stopped it during the regular session.
Exactly. Now, they can call more special sessions. They did pass a lot of other bad bills in this special session, voter suppression bills, racist bills, anti-immigrant bills.
As Molly Ivins would say, no man, woman, or child is safe while the Texas legislature is in session.
It's true. All right.
And then there's this horrible story out of Jackson, Michigan, where an LGBTQ leader lost their home and their pets were killed in this fire.
Dogs
to an arson
and cats.
Fire, four-alarm fire.
There's the house on fire. I think we have more pictures of this, a little more close up of the fire. Yeah.
And these are activists who've been, working in the community for our liberation.
Beloved in the community, by the way. Very, very popular. But Jackson, they've been outspoken in Jackson, Michigan.
We're talking about Nikki Jolie, who is the director of the Jackson Pride Center, and his partner, Chris Moore.
Yeah. So our condolences to them on their loss, and
this is happening more and more. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it gets to the statistic that we're hearing about from the anti-violence programs, which is that there have been a record number of murders of LGBT people this year, far advanced over 2016 in terms of the pace. They've counted
33 so far.
There were a total of 28 last year, excluding
now,
the 49 people who were killed at the Pulse, and we don't mean to do that.
And this, of course, is just what's been reported. We assume there is much more
15
going on.
Have been trans women of color. At least 12 were gay men. There was one hate violence-related death every 6 days in 2017. So, I mean, and this is all due to this poisonous atmosphere that has been whipped up in the country by Trump and his supporters.
And it happens.
Take responsibility for that.
It happens in large and small ways. The smaller way in Tucson, they have a nice four-way rainbow crosswalk there in Tucson. Very lovely. But some vandal came along and decided to deface it with paint. Not a huge deal, but just an indication of the kind of hatred that's out there.
A better story from Michigan. One of the lawyers who handled the same-sex marriage cases there, Dana Nessel, is running for Michigan Attorney General. Mm. She represented a lesbian couple there. They were just trying to get their names on an adoption document. And it became one of the big same-sex marriage cases that went before the Supreme Court.
Let's do our favorite story of the week.
Yes.
From Kearney, Missouri. Two out gay high school students opened up their yearbooks and found that the little statements they'd made had been censored, had been taken out of the yearbook. And they are totally adorable, and their little statements couldn't have been more cute and lovely and not the least bit offensive.
It's a little suburb outside of Kansas City, and here is the video.
Two
report.
Openly gay students in the Kearney School District say that their quotes were removed from the yearbook without warning. Our Nathan Vickers went to find out why.
Hot off the press. New yearbooks for 2017 Kearney High graduates Joey Slavinsky and Thomas Swartz.
I went and got my yearbook, and I was flipping through it just to find my quote. There was nothing there.
Like every senior, they'd submitted senior quotes before graduation, but the school had removed them.
And it was a blank picture under my name.
Both of the teens are openly gay. They each chose a quote they found funny and inspirational.
Mine was, "Of course I dress well. I didn't spend all that time in the closet for nothing."
If Harry Potter taught us anything, it's that nobody deserves to live in the closet.
The district deemed those quotes offensive. Swartz and Slavinsky feel the district was wrong.
I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm comfortable with who I am, and I'm proud of who I am. And then it felt like the district originally took that from me.
The Kearney School District says it has reached out to both boys and their families, and that it didn't intend to offend them. In a statement, district administrators explained their yearbook policy to KCTV 5, writing, "In an effort to protect our students, quotes that could potentially offend another student or groups of students are not published. It is the school's practice to err on the side of caution. Doing so in this case had the unintentional consequence of offending the very students the practice was designed to protect. We sincerely apologize to those students."
They need to know what they did is wrong, and I want to be able to tell other people my story about what happened.
The two graduates plan to make stickers to insert their quips into their yearbooks and their friends.
I'm proud to be from Kearney and proud to be who I am, and I wouldn't be who I am without them. I should say I'm just disappointed in what happened.
In Kearney, Missouri, Nathan Vickers, KCTV 5 News.
Well, this sounds like one administrator who got it wrong. There is an openly gay member of the school board. His name is Matthew Ryan Hunt, and he is printing up stickers for every single yearbook. It's going to be given to them. And in a way, this has all gotten more attention.
Why didn't they talk to them in the first place?
Right.
You know, they err on the side of caution. They want to be sensitive. They didn't talk to these kids in the first place.
Right.
I find that just unbelievable.
It's outrageous.
Yeah. They're fascists.
Yes, they are. But
those kids are so adorable, and their quotes were so adorable.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're getting support.
But less good, because as I say, that was an administrator. The school board is not backing that administrator up.
Okay.
But in Fresno, California, the school board is led by a guy named Brooke Ashgian, and here's his offending quote. He's worried about teaching that integrates gay stuff.
Which is mandated in California
law. He says, but you have kids who are extremely moldable at this stage.
And if the word is impressionable.
If you start telling them LGBT is okay and that it's a way of life, well, maybe you just swayed the kid to go that way. By the way, this is almost the exact same thing that Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister of Britain, said in passing a law against talking about gay stuff in schools. So, what happened in Fresno?
Well, they held a school board meeting, and you can go online and see this. I would have shown it to you, but it's just too long and too hilarious and too whatever. But the school board is meeting in a public meeting. The audience is there, and various members of the school board are trying to say to the audience, I'm sorry about this. I disagree with the school board president. And he won't let them talk. He shouts down every single one of them.
I will never resign, he says.
You're out of order. We're not discussing this. You're off topic.
We went through this in Queens, New York with Children of the Rainbow curriculum.
It's 2017.
Well, it was 20 years ago.
It's quite interesting to watch. I was dumbfounded that this guy was so overt about shouting down the other school board members and just shutting them off. He was not having any of it.
All right. Well, they kind of shut off these basketball players, the women basketball players at Pepperdine University, who...
A very Christian school.
Well, a jury ruled against them in terms of sexual orientation discrimination, but...
They were claiming it.
Yes, but it's still considered a landmark case in the sense that their claim based on sexual orientation went to trial under Title IX. Which was, they were said, yeah, you can sue under Title IX for sex discrimination, for sexual orientation discrimination. So they lost the case, but they won that important point.
Well, along with the Kearney, Missouri high school students, my other favorite story of the week comes from Rockford, Illinois, where a waitress and this is not the first time we've heard this kind of story. But she had, you know, had an interaction waiting on a group. And she has this tattoo with these two bars of rainbow colors. And here's what they did with the bill. They paid the bill, but they left zero as a tip. And they wrote a note on the bill that said, "Can't tip someone who doesn't love Jesus bad tattoo.
This is a six,
is that a Christian thing to do?
Not on a certainly not on a $60 tab.
Wow.
Awful.
Rockford, Illinois.
But the family of five, family values there. Why don't you just admit you're cheap?
Yeah.
And bigoted.
All right. And speaking of bigoted, what do you think? Roy Moore going to the U.S. Senate from Alabama?
Well, he was the first vote-getter in the runoff with Luther Strange, who was supported by Trump, who was put in after Jeff Sessions. But there, he got 40% of the vote. My theory is you know,
he's
if you wanted to
ceiling.
Vote for Roy Moore, you voted for Roy Moore, who was a famous anti-gay bigot, who was thrown off as Chief Justice.
Twice.
And then this once for Ten Commandments, insisting on it, and the other for not complying with the same-sex marriage law.
I think the person who came in third in the voting evidently got his votes from very conservative districts. So I think it's possible that Roy Moore will be elected to the Senate.
There will be a Democrat running, and a Democrat hasn't won, actually, since the mid-90s. It's not that long ago.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath for Alabama to elect a Democrat to the U.S. Senate.
There might be a great awakening in this country.
Maybe. Maybe.
And Indiana appeals court is allowing anonymous document changes for transgender men. You know, they have a law that says you've got to put a notice in the newspaper
yes.
when you change your name. And
yeah.
they're saying they've sort of demonstrated there may be some danger in that. And we're not, and so they can do it without.
We told you last week that the federal court in Virginia was declaring the Gavin Grimm case moot because he was graduating from high school. Well, the ACLU has now decided to cancel the Gavin Grimm case that existed, but they're filing a new one to continue to pursue the issue of trans kids' access to the proper bathroom in high schools.
And I hope that Virginia has been chastened by its recent encounter with the hard right.
Well, in another part of Virginia, Hampton Roads, they have an LGBT life center there, and they've just announced that they're going to expand and build a medical clinic and offer prep to clients.
Yes, indeed.
And I don't know quite what to do with these stories, but now that there are two of them, I think we should mention them, of young gay men who have turned up dead in encounters with older gay male couples, drug overdoses, stabbing. Chicago is the young guy, and both the men who are dead, the young men, were African American. The people they were with were not. The Illinois case is a murder, and people have been arrested for that. In West Hollywood, the case is meth overdose that may just be accidental.
Well,
not good.
There are some very fine gay people.
Yes, there are.
And there are some very bad gay people. And
we are everywhere.
We are everywhere.
And like, but they're sad cases, let's put it that way.
Milo Yiannopoulos is a very bad gay person.
Yep.
But and he wanted to advertise his book on the Metro, Washington Metro, and
The ACLU is supporting that.
They
right?
are supporting
yeah.
him. And, you know, look, I think within you know, there are certainly limits to the First Amendment, but the ad itself, he's an offensive person. The ad itself didn't sound offensive. It was just promoting his book. But people don't like him, so they want to take it down. I'm not for that, taking it down.
These are getting to be very complicated, tricky situations. But mostly, I am concerned about the future of this country.
Yes, I am too.
And thank you to New York Governor Cuomo, who issued an order for non-discrimination on the basis of gender identity by health insurers.
Right. But on the other hand, you know, all this is about people being more, you know, Milo Yiannopoulos, let him talk. He's, you know, letting people will understand that it's a bad message. I mean, by exposing the neo-Nazis this week,
yeah.
by publishing their pictures, we may be able to, you know, look, there's always been a huge racist element in this country. But if more you expose it, the more people will go back into the closet about it. And that would be fine with me. People just shut up about it.
Well, theoretically, I agree with you, but these people are gathering strength.
Yes.
And they're becoming bolder, and they're wearing khakis and polo shirts instead of sheets.
That's what Trump wears on the golf course, so they're modeling him.
Exactly. They are. Their leader.
They're wearing his pants and shirt.
Yeah.
Well, and hats.
And here I sit in a polo shirt.
Although, in fairness, one of the neo-Nazi leaders in the Vice thing said Trump isn't racist enough for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because he gave his beautiful daughter to a Jew.
And to national news.
Yes.
Well, despite all this stuff, this bad stuff from our government, in Prague, the U.S. Embassy was lit up in rainbow colors for Pride. We have a picture of that. There it is! That's the United States of America, at least overseas.
And
you're not going to see the White House like that anytime soon.
No, and they had a whole festival. They showed our favorite movie last year and the Oscar winner, Moonlight, and they showed How to Survive a Plague and brought David France in to talk about that. So in the Czech Republic, the U.S. Embassy is celebrating Pride.
Less nice in Kuwait, where they have deported 76 gay men in a crackdown. I almost had a job there 40 years ago. I'm glad I never went, but tough place still.
Well, and in Ontario, Canada, in Pickering, Ontario, the garage door of a couple of gay men who had moved back there to live with one's sick dad, and they come home and they say, they find on the garage door, "We don't like faggot. Time to move, 30 days. They don't know how to spell faggot.
Wow.
Yeah, so Canada is not necessarily an entire refuge.
Staying in the Commonwealth, Australia continues to be a mess in terms of what's going on with same-sex marriage. The government is unilaterally trying to authorize this postal ballot. That is being challenged in court.
There are all sorts of problems with it. There are, in a regular vote, there are rules against hate speech, but not in a postal ballot. So the advertising campaigns, which is what we were worried about all along, are going to be hideous. And now they find that they're putting barcodes on all the postal ballots, so people are going to not vote because they don't want their votes recorded.
Well, these are supposed to go out starting September 12th, and there's a court action against it. It's going to be heard in the High Court September 5th and 6th. Tony Abbott is trying to revive himself. The former prime minister, who has a lesbian sister who hates her, is on to that. But,
because he's anti-marriage.
But they
haven't given up in Parliament,
right.
And there are still attempts to have a marriage vote in Parliament.
But the guy who's administering the vote from the Parliament said it's going to be a unifying thing for the country. So Penny Wong, who's an out lesbian in the Senate, spoke out directly to him in Parliament.
And I do want to respond to the comment by Senator Cormann that this could be a unifying moment. Well, and that people could be respectful. I hope that people watching me debate would not think that I'm a shrinking violet, right? And I know what a hard debate's like. But I tell you, have a read of some of the things which are said about us and our families, and then come back here and tell us this is a unifying moment. The Australian Christian Lobby described our children as the stolen generation. We love our children, and I object, as do every person who cares about children, and as do all those couples in this country, same-sex couples who have kids, to being told our children are a stolen generation. You talk about unifying moments. It's not a unifying moment. It's exposing our children to that kind of hatred. And I wouldn't mind so much if you were prepared to speak out on it. If the Prime Minister were prepared to stand up and say, that is wrong. But what does he do? Oh, it's a dreadful reason to say, you know, not to trust the Australian people. And, you know, it's don't be silly. Of course we can have a sensible debate. Well, maybe he should stand up for some of the people who don't have a voice. Because we know the sort of debate that is already there. And let me say, for many children in same-sex couple parented families, and for many young LGBTI kids, this ain't a respectful debate already. Labor will be opposing this motion, and we do so because of our long-standing position, which has been considered by the party, and our opposition to a plebiscite. And what I would say to the crossbench is you made the right decision last time. Please make the same decision on this occasion.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, that was a discussion of the proposal for a full public vote,
right?
Which was rejected.
Right.
But now they're onto this postal vote.
Well,
Bermuda, the legislature is still trying to overturn same-sex marriage that was legalized by the courts.
By the time you see this show, you may know what they decided in the High Court in Northern Ireland on same-sex marriage. Because remember, it's only in England and Wales that they...
And Scotland.
Yes, in Scotland that they have it. Northern Ireland is a holdout.
Don't leave out Scotland.
Because, I'm sorry.
And there's disarray in Romania over same-sex marriage. Someone wants to pass an anti-marriage bill, but that's upsetting others. It's a mess
in Romania.
The
smaller Reform Party, who should be the more liberal party, voted for it, but the leader of the party didn't like that, so he resigned.
Good news from Pakistan and Uruguay, where they're making advances on the rights of transgender people.
Uruguay wants to give you a pension if you were a transgender person born before 1975 because you were treated so badly.
Reparations.
Yes, reparations. Yes.
And Pakistan wants a gender identity non-discrimination law.
And in London, we told you that they were trying to, you know, redevelop a famous place where there was a gay bar, and the developer was told, "What the thing you're proposing isn't gay enough. We're not approving it."
Yes, the neighborhood council has rejected it.
And in Brazil, a Catholic bishop spoke out and saying that homosexuality is a gift from God. It's not, if it is not a choice, if it is not a disease, in the perspective of faith, it can only be a gift. He said, you know, try to be responsible in the way you practice it. He didn't say don't practice it, which was interesting, you know, and he backed up his comments later. This is, you know, even our friend Bernard Lynch, the gay priest, said he thinks this is a great step forward.
You know, 41 years ago, when I came out, I, like any closeted teenager and young adult, I had questions about all of this.
I used to think it was wrong.
Well, when I walked into a lesbian bar... And got a look at not only how many people were there, but how many different people were there. And I thought, oh, my God, how could this be, wrong if all these different people
the
are
The thing that
here?
Sold me on it not being a sin was doing it in a car in Charlottesville.
Well, there you go. The trajectory of Charlottesville in Gay USA this
very
week.
Little, should we move on?
Yes.
Very little AIDS news, but, I mean, the National Hispanic Caucus did come out for the decriminalization of marijuana and a big thing about opposing discrimination against the LGBT community in the workplace. And they were the National Hispanic Caucus of State Legislators. They're on our side.
And we did that.
And we did, I know. And the, you know, and the, well, your All ACA right. premiums are going to soar under Trump. Entertainment news.
You know how they're reviving Will and Grace?
Yes, I heard it's terrible.
Well, it's already been renewed for a second season. And they haven't done the first season
but
yet.
But I heard they were going to ignore the finale of the show like it didn't happen and create a whole new plot.
Well, sure. They did that with Dallas, too.
Well, you know, Ellen gave an interview opening up about being bullied in Hollywood, and she said it was worse than anything she experienced as a young, you know, lesbian teen or anything. It was scary and lonely. She thought she'd never work again.
It's the elite. It's the elite. It's those people invested in status are the worst bigots and the most closed minded.
And, you know, it's a dark time, but if you can hold on until October, if there's not nuclear war, they're reviving Howard Crabtree's When Pigs Fly. Howard died of AIDS right before the show premiered in 1996, and it was one of the most joyous, fun shows I ever saw in my life. I went not knowing. Like the show we went to last night that we walked out of that we won't mention. But
even though it was 90 minutes with no intermission, but we left after 20.
I had a great time at that show, and I hope they do a great job again.
Well, meanwhile, you can go to the first East Village Queer Film Festival next week. You can look it up on thewildproject.com. And in casting news, Leonardo DiCaprio as Leonardo da Vinci. Will he play him gay?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but more on this next week. We'll see you then.